You have already been cleansed by the word that I spoke to you. Dwell in me as I in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but only if it remains united with the vine. No more can you bear fruit unless you remain united with me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who dwells in me as I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. He who does not dwell in me is thrown away like a withered branch. The withered branches are heaped together, thrown on the fire, and burned. If you dwell in me and my words dwell in you, ask what you will and you shall have it. This is my Father's glory, that you may bear fruit in plenty and so be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Dwell in that love. If you heed my commands, you will dwell in my love, as I have heeded my Father's commands and dwell in his love. I have spoken thus to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy complete. Now may these beautiful words find a place in our hearts, and may we better understand them before this hour has ended.
Whenever I hear the scriptural story of Jesus talking about the going out into the vineyard and how we, in comparison to the vineyard and the vineyard keeper, that we are the branches and he is the vine, then I come to that place about where all of those that were withered up were gathered up and burned. I have a feeling I want to revert back to my old idea that religion is full of fear and that God is going to do something harmful to you. But I think we have to understand in the context that Jesus was teaching, he was talking mostly to people who were laborers working in these fields. They understood about the grapevine. They understood that you have to prune them if you want them to continually bear the quality fruit that will make the best wine. Those people had gathered up those withered branches many, many seasons and had thrown them into great stacks and watched them burn. But they realized that the whole idea of their labor was to produce good wine. And so often Jesus talked to the men who were fishermen. Maybe all they owned was a net. Maybe if they were wealthy, they owned with the rest of their brothers a boat. And so we have to see what he was saying. He was saying that we're one. He was saying that if you disconnect yourself from these fantastic, unbelievable ideas, that you're going to go drifting off and you're going to be valueless, and that you're going to get burned, or as we would say it today, you're going to get in hot water. I don't know which would be the most painful, but we all know what hot water is when we get in it. And so let's be reminded of the meaning behind his words. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The prayers that Jesus used. And on the affirmation of the morning meditation, we find it reads, Father, I give thanks that thou hearest me now and that thou hearest me always. And you know where this comes from. Jesus had some wonderful friends who had... He'd been the guest in their home. They took him in and made almost a relative out of him. It was Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And Lazarus became very ill, and the sisters sent for Jesus, and he didn't come. He couldn't come for some reason. And Lazarus became so ill, he died. And they had his funeral, and they buried him, put him in a great cavern, covered it up as was the custom. And finally, Jesus came. And the sisters were still very faithful. They said, Oh, Master, if you'd only come, if you'd only been here, he would have been alive today. And Jesus said, He didn't die, he sleepeth. Jesus said, Take me to him. Oh, the Bible is so real, you know, because one of the sisters said, But he stinks. That's not a nice thing to say. But it was true. But Jesus said, Take me to him anyway. And so they did. And when Jesus was there, and I think we have to understand at that particular time, it was a Jewish custom, if you didn't have a large family, you could hire some professional mourners. Now you can imagine what a professional mourner might be. I've seen mourners who were not too professional, and they made a lot of noise. But these were professionals with all their black clothes and their hoods. Why, they could scream and cry. I suppose they could have big crocodile tears. It was just terrible. And all of this was going on because they would stay sometimes days after the funeral. They were to put on a good show, for the more mourners you could hire, the better it was. So in the midst of all of this, Jesus took the stone away, and you know, he called forth Lazarus. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." But then he said a prayer. He said, "Father, I say this prayer not for me, but to show all these people here what can really happen." And then he said, as we're going to say, "Father, I give thanks that thou hearest me now and that thou hearest me always." How wonderful it is that we can say the same words. "Father, I give thanks that thou hearest me now and that thou hearest me always." Let's look at these words. Let's be so grateful we can say them too. Together now. "Father, I give thanks that thou hearest me now and that thou hearest me always." Let's say them again. "Father, I give thanks that thou hearest me now and that thou hearest me always." Doesn't that make you feel good? Let's say it once more. "Father, I give thanks that thou hearest me now and that thou hearest me always." Now let's say it very softly. And in a sense, you're really saying it to yourself. You're saying it to that part of you that can be cynical, that part of you that doesn't listen all the time, that part of you that will listen now, together now. "Father, I give thanks that thou hearest me now and that thou hearest me always." Now, if we will, let's let prayer come over us. Let's find that we may want to close our eyes, that we want to turn within and be still and quiet. And as the scripture says, to wait upon the Lord, to wait upon the law of God. There are so many faculties within us that hear besides our ears. Our hearts can hear. Our minds can hear. Our emotions can hear. Our whole being can hear when Christ in us speaks. So we listen. We give thanks for the circumstances that brought us to this hour. We give thanks that we open our minds and hearts with the help of Spirit, that we might hear more than words can say. We give thanks that we're going to be softened in our fears. We're going to find our expectation of good is going to be multiplied. We're going to be still and feel, find, a greater proportion of his presence in us. O Lord Christ indwelling, how we need thee. Bless every member of this congregation. Bless our friends and our guests who have come to worship and study and learn with us. Bless all people everywhere who lift up their minds and hearts to thee. And we pray this day for more peace, more love in the world. And we pray, O Lord, let there be peace and love in this world in great abundance. And let it begin with me. Amen. I am so glad to be home and all of this place. You don't know. Someone said to me in the choir as we had our prayer together before the service, they said, "You look kind of pale." I said, "I feel kind of pale. I've been away too long. Even though it's wonderful back there and it's beautiful and the people are just the greatest in the world, there's just no place like this place." And I said it back there, and I say it here, that we're just wonderful. And everyone's wonderful, but some people are more wonderful than other people. You know what I mean. I I want to welcome someone back, too, that's had quite a bout with illness, and she's prayed, and we've prayed, and she's here with us. And in the last service, I asked everyone to show her their love, and they gave her a rounding applause. But now, wait a minute, before you do, but they lost their proportions, and they were applauding all during the service. I know we feel exuberant and wonderful when we come here, but now remember, this is it. Now, let's give Nina Taylor a hand of applause for being with us. And she's just as happy to be back as I am. And though she had a little longer vacation than I did, she said she was more glad to be back, maybe. I want to say just a word about this wonderful thing of the Sharing and Caring program. I found when I came over here yesterday on my desk was a great folder of all of these applications for it, and it's just wonderful. And I didn't even get to look at them, but you know we have a committee that's forming of some of our workers and staff members here, and we'll get around to it, and you'll read more about it in the July issue of Faith for Today. And I'm just so pleased that so many have volunteered. I know everyone would if you could. I know that. But I'm so glad that so many found at this particular time, and you can volunteer anytime you want as we go on into this. But so many wanted to start out with us in the new Sharing and Caring program of this congregation. It is a unique program. It is not anywhere else in the Unity Movement. And I hope that we can establish something here that will be a great help to others of our ministry. One last thing, and that is that I do hope that you heard what was going to happen tonight. I hope you read in the church paper this tremendous musical idea of healing that's going to be presented here this evening by the Mancinis. They are outstanding musicians. They are great truth teachers. And they've hit on something, a wonderful something. They've hit on and discovered it, and they want to share it with us. So I hope you'll be here. I hope you'll be here wide open and receptive to the healing that you need. Now, today our lesson talks about the prayers of Jesus. And this is very, very important. We follow this Jesus Christ. We follow the historical Jesus and the eternal Christ. And as we read in the scripture, the historical words that are so true about what he said. Well, maybe they've changed a little in the interpretations. Maybe they've changed a little in the framing them from one language to another. We know that happens. But if you look at the spirit of them, and that's what we want to look at, to me the spirit of the prayers of Jesus are just as vibrant and just as meaningful today as they were thousands of years ago when he himself said them. And if you look at these prayers, you will find a corresponding feeling from within you. And you'll say, yes, that's true. Yes. And you're hearing them almost as if he had said them to you. Well, now, I know prayers can become rote. Not long ago, I opened a prayer book, and there was a whole book of prayers put out by one of the great parts of the Christian church. A prayer for almost every need. But that isn't what prayer really is, and that's what I don't want to teach you. I don't want you to run over these prayers by rote. Sometimes we have to learn prayers by memory so that we can say them when we can hardly think. We have to say, there is but one presence and one power, God the good, omnipotent in my life, you know. And then we say, oh, look at our Catholic friends. They say the rosary over and over, you know. And sometimes we can do the same thing. We can make our prayers and by rote, just like any other group. And they mean as little. And yet some of our Roman Catholic friends can say the rosary and tremendous things happen within them. Just like some of us can say, there is only one presence and one power in my life. And we can just feel the mist moving away. We can feel our minds opening up and the Spirit beginning to move through us. Well, what about these prayers? What was Jesus really doing? I want to just name five of them. Five simple things
And by this, I want you to leave here in a few moments and have a whole new attitude, because remember that he said it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said your Father knoweth what you have need of even before you ask. In other words, you can only receive in life what you are. Never any more, never any less, exactly what you are. We see this so often, the mental law of cause and effect. As you sow, so shall you reap. Yet most of us live according to that law. It's a good one. There's something better, of course. It's the law of love, the law of oneness. But most of us are in this, I'll give you this if you'll give me that. And I'm not going to give you this till you give me that. So there. You know, that's the way we live. Most of us don't realize the simplicity of an apple falling out of a tree. And Mr. Newton was sitting there and he says, by this I know that for every action there is an equal reaction somewhere in the universe. Tremendous discoveries in the most simple ways. Well, what discovery will you make today? What will you find out about yourself? You are not what you see in the mirror. You are not what you own. You are not what you know. You are fantastic. You have unbelievable potential in you. And you can find out what it is if you listen carefully. I can't tell you. There are no words that can put it into operation within you. But by what you hear in these simple sentences, something will click off in you and let the top off. Like a Pandora's box where instead of all the evil coming forth, all the good that you've ever dreamt of comes forth in you. It's really wonderful. Even to just sit still and contemplate the reality of your being. And as you contemplate this, feel it grow like yeast in bread. It leavens the whole thing. First of all, Jesus told us how to pray. He told us where to go to pray. Now, you've heard this. There isn't anything I'm going to tell you you haven't heard. But I believe in divine appointment. I believe that consciousness, your consciousness, like water, is continually seeking its level. And you wouldn't be here today. You couldn't be here today if you weren't supposed to be. The world is just that orderly. Maybe someone said, I'll buy you lunch if you come to church with me. You said, okay. So here you are. Forget about lunch. I want them to feed you later, but I mean, forget about it right now. Because there's something to learn. Well, what did Jesus say? We read in the 6th chapter of Matthew some beautiful words on how to pray and where to pray. He says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. Doesn't that thrill you? Doesn't that make you want to be real still and listen? Doesn't it want to make you go and say, I've got to go now, Reverend Stevens. I don't care if the offering hasn't been taken. I want to go pray. I want to get busy on this. I want to see what God knows I have need of even before I ask him. I want to begin. Doesn't that want to motivate you out into life? Don't you want to be the best of whatever it is? Don't you want to be the friendliest person on the block? Don't you want to be the most giving person in the family? Don't you want to be the person that never complains? Don't you want to be the person that's always sympathetic and understanding and has an unlimited amount of compassion for everyone you talk to? Isn't that what you want to be? Well, your Father knows what you have need of. The reality that you live and move and have your being in knows and has all these things available. But he says, what does he say? You have to go within. You see, you are the temple of the living God. When I say the Lord is in His holy temple, you are that holy temple. Have you turned the lights on and turned the heat on? Have you opened the doors? Have you put out the welcome sign? You are the holy temple. It's all going on in you. You are your world. You say, "Oh, I hate you." What you really should say is, "I hate my you." You don't know anything about anything except what's within you. You have a frame of reference and you can't see beyond it. Not unless you can see within and then beyond. We live in our own little world. We filled it up. We've planted all the trees. We've planted all the flowers. And if there are any weeds, it's only because we didn't pull them up. It's a tremendous and a great responsibility that we have in living in life. It's a wonderful responsibility, too, because you can build and make your life whatever you want it to be. But he said, the place to do all this is not out on the street corner, is not in some particular great temple, but within you. We're always saying they and them, it's their fault, it's it, it's him, it's her, it's something. No. He told us, don't worry about it. Don't worry about if God knows what you need, because He knows even before you ask. If anything, be concerned that you have the capacity to receive. That's our business in knowing. Then if we look down a few lines, number two of these five things, number two, He tells us a tremendous thing. It's too bad that you've heard it before, but you have. You've already said it this morning. You've said it. Because He goes down here and He says, they said, well, teach us to pray. And He said, when you pray, pray in like manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and on. You said that. But the best words are the first two when He said, our Father. Did you ever hear the saying, the brotherhood of man, the fatherhood of God? Sure you have. Mean anything? Can. Has tremendous meaning in it. When you talk about our Father, you know, just to say it, our Father, I just want to go along all day saying, our Father. It expands every time you say it. It means more every time you say it. You just want to say it and say it and say it. Our Father. Let's say it together. Our Father. No, you need warming up. Let's say it again. Our Father. There, doesn't it do something to you? It shows your unique relationship with reality, and it shows your beautiful relationship with everyone else in the world. Our Father. Why not go home and say that a few times? Set it to the tune of, you know, put it to the tune of Yankee Doodle. Our Father, I can't sing it, but you can. This is what life is all about. Don't go home and worry about whatever it is you want to worry about. But say, our Father. Whenever you think of some individual that you're having a faulty relationship with, say, our Father. Put your arms out this. Bring them right in. Our Father. That's the way you pray. That's the way you begin to get the movement of life. Our Father. That brings you into your understanding of reality, which is Father, which is God, the principle of being. Our Father, but it's ours. Sometimes we like to think God, maybe we think about it in relationship to mathematics. Wouldn't it be ridiculous if you had to go to a certain place, to a certain brand of mathematics, that 2 times 2 equal 4 for them and it didn't equal 4 for anyone else? No, my dear friends, 2 times 2 equal 4 for all of us. No exception. Doesn't matter where you add it up or how you do it or in what language or what the circumstances. 2 times $2 equals $4. 2 times $2 millions equals $4 millions. Has nothing to do with what you're adding. You can add up trouble. You can add up blessings. It's all the same. And that's good. I really wouldn't want it any other way. Paul said, all have fallen short of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I think that's wonderful. Because sure enough, there'd be some of us that'd be left out. And everyone has fallen short. We're in the process of learning. And I like that idea. I like to think that life is a continual learning process. Take out all the good and bad. That's limiting sometimes. We have to have guidelines of what's right and wrong. But at the same time, we know that wrong can oftentimes lead us into great rights. We often learn that the wrongs of our lives teach us sometimes so much more than the rights. So he said, Our Father. Now what's number three? What is the third thing we need to know? This is a beautiful part. I like this part, the third thing. It's found in the 14th chapter of Matthew. And this is what it says. Remember the story when he was giving a great lesson on the side of a hill near the Sea of Galilee, and it became dark, and his disciples told all his friends and followers, go find something to eat. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. And Jesus said, there's no place for them to go. Don't send them away. What have we got here? Well, here's what we find. And they said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring them to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. They didn't tell us he not only fed them, but they each had a doggy bag full when they went home. That's wonderful. I like that kind of thing. I want to know there's not just enough, but there's more than any of us could ever use. An abundance. Well, what's the secret? You know the secret. He looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. He looked out on the universe. He wasn't looking at the loaves and the fishes, but he was looking beyond. Maybe you don't have all the happiness in your life that you'd like to have. Maybe you do have people in your life that are causing you stress and strain. Maybe you don't have all the money you'd like to have to do the things with. Maybe not even for yourself, but for the people around you. All right, look beyond it. This story has great metaphysical meaning, you know. It says that he told all the crowd, sit down. Because they were clamoring, maybe. Maybe they realized something was going on, and they were ignorant. They thought this was all magic. They didn't know there isn't any such thing called a miracle. Just something they didn't understand. And so maybe they were clamoring. Maybe great rumors were going around that something was happening. They didn't have a loudspeaker. They couldn't see. They just knew that something was happening down there. Well, you know who the real hero of this story is. The real hero, we don't know his name. He's a little boy who gave his lunch. It takes a lot of faith to give your few loaves and fishes up against a crowd of over 5,000 people. But he did. Even the disciples didn't understand it. But Jesus knew if you kept your mind on God and the promises of God, if you kept your mind in the awareness that God will give you what you have need of, and He knows what you have need of even before you ask, you can bless what you have and see beyond it, and it will multiply. But it didn't start to multiply until they started passing it out. Evidently, here it didn't. Is there any one of us who can't give thanks? Is there any one of us who, in our prayer, can't say thank you? Not one of us. We can all say thank you. We all have something to say thank you about. That's prayer. Why not? That's the best kind of prayer. Not gimme, 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 but thank you. Because remember, life wants to give you what you have need of. Life wants you to have everything good, but you just haven't developed the capacity to receive it yet. Have you ever received something you shouldn't have? Did you ever give an atom bomb to a little boy? No, he's not ready. Would you give a $1 million bill to a little 13-year-old? No. Would you put a 14-year-old boy, though he'd love to have it and it would be the answer to his personal prayers, would you ever put him in a great souped-up motor car? No, you wouldn't. Well, neither will God. Neither will God. We can only receive, fortunately, what we have the ability to receive. And we really wouldn't want it any other way. And so instead of saying, God, give me, it's God, make me into the kind of person I really want to be. Because after all, what's life all about? To get or to be? It's to become, isn't it? That's where the real satisfaction comes in. I know a story happened a long time ago of a man who bought the biggest diamond ring you ever saw. Well, it wasn't quite that big, but it was big. He bought it on time. I guess it was a long time paying it off. I think things are beautiful. I'm not making fun of diamond rings. I've got a diamond here. You come up sometime when the light's shining right, you can see it. But he paid and he paid and he paid and he paid and he paid. And you know the interesting thing was that when he got it all paid for, he took it off. He didn't want it anymore. It had lost all its meaning. He'd done it. And I think there's a little of that in each one of us. What are you working so hard for now? What do you think you just have to have, just have to have it? Maybe God has to fool you a little. Maybe it isn't really that which you have to have, but it's that which that He wants you to be in the process of getting it. Then get your mind off what you think you have to have. And get your mind on what you really want to be. That's where the fun is in life. You know that. So we give thanks. That's a wonderful way of praying, to give thanks. Now what's number four? Number four is the hardest one, and yet it's really the easiest one to understand. And we find this in the 22nd chapter of Luke. And there's that word that's so hard to say. Nevertheless. Oh, that's a word that many of us have struggled with in our lives. Nevertheless. You know, Jesus reached a point in His unfoldment when He could see what was going to happen. We all reach this point in different experiences where all of a sudden we know what's going to happen. Even before it happens, we know. He reached a place where He knew He was going to have to go through a crucifixion. There wasn't anything He could do about it. There really wasn't anything He wanted to do about it. Because He knew it was a learning experience. He knew it was the way that He was going to get rid of all of this that He didn't want about Himself. He was really going to be lifted up. And all the weights were going to be left off of Him. And He was going to come into a new relationship with His Heavenly Father. But He said this when He found it out. He said, "Father, if Thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Nevertheless. How many of us, we say it all the time, don't we? Maybe not as dramatic in the setting that He said it. I have a feeling, a suspicion that it had to be dramatic all through the centuries to hold our attention on it. It goes on to say that He perspired great droplets of blood. But the truth is that He was telling us that there are some things that you just have to do. You just have to do them. It's for your own good if you do it. Not that it's good to suffer. It's just good to learn. And sometimes the best way to learn something is not to go out back and start all over again. It's just to go right on through that wall if it need be. And you can do it, as He did it. Sometimes it's unpleasant, hurts your feelings, hurts your pride, but you just keep right on going. Say, "Well, I'm going to do it. I'll do the best I can. I'll keep my eye on God. And I'll learn whatever I need to learn. I got in this, I'll get out." We go through those things more than once in our lives. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And the beautiful thing is that God's will is always better than anything we could have dreamed up ourselves. Always better. Works every time. Well, one last point now I want to give you. And that's the best of the four things I've told you thus far. And I think this is what unity brings us into. This is the metaphysical view of Christianity. It gives you an inkling of what I want to tell you here, of the great power you have. And we find this in the 8th chapter of Matthew. He'd been teaching all day, and the people were so enthusiastic to see Him and touch Him and hear Him. that they kept pressing closer and closer and closer until finally they had pushed him down on the edge of the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And undoubtedly he was tired. If you've ever been in a great crowd, and we all have, it is tiresome. He was trying to tell them something. And they were getting it. They were understanding as best they could. But finally his disciples said, "We can't retreat, so let's get in this boat. And we'll get away. We'll just cast off and go out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee." And they did. And Jesus was so exhausted that he went to sleep. And while he was asleep, a great storm came up. And the winds and the tempest came, as it can on the Sea of Galilee. And this is what happened. Well, it was here a minute ago. "And when they got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm in that sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid, O men of little faith?' Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obeyed?'" You see, Jesus knew that he was in control. And my dear friend, I tell you the truth this morning, and maybe you don't know this, but you are in control if you want to be. If you pray as Jesus prayed, you are in control. You can say, "Peace be still," and even the elements will be still. We have a book over here our librarian gave me a few months ago. It was called The Secret Life of Plants. I read it and it told that plants respond to our love or our hate. But I read into that, and I've got a bunch of plants at home, and I said, "Well, if you're responsive to my love, I'm going to be responsive to your love." So I go in and I bless them, and they bless me in return. We have a wonderful relationship. And what plants can do, the whole world can do. The whole world. You can bless the whole world, and the whole world will bless you. I want you to practice this afternoon. I want you to practice and pray as Jesus did. Now let us be still and quiet and realize how exciting it's going to be as we go out from this sanctuary and live the prayers of Jesus Christ. Oh God, how grateful we are. Amen.